For the rest of this hour, we're going to look into the science and snake oil of weight loss advertising. Americans spend an estimated $38 billion a year trying to lose weight, but the Federal Trade Commission says that more than half of the weight loss ads out there use false or misleading information. Their tool in policing these claims is the media. Today, the FTC released a report outlining seven red flags they want media outlets to use to evaluate weight loss advertising. The guidelines are voluntary, but outlets which depend on advertising revenue are welcoming this news with caution. So what do you think? Do we need more advertising oversight, or should this just be a case of buyer beware? And who holds the responsibility? The advertisers? The media? Or the consumers? Join the conversation. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now is Ann Marr, who's the former Assistant Director for Advertising Practices at the Federal Trade Commission. She's now in private practice specializing in food and drug advertising law. She's with us from her home in Tacoma Park, Maryland, and it's nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit more detail about what the FTC did.
Well, today the FTC released guidance for the media. They've been trying to get the media to get involved in helping them police the area of false and deceptive weight loss advertising claims for a number of years. And today they've put out a simple brochure for the media listing seven claims that are scientifically infeasible, claims that reappear over and over again in weight loss ads. That according to a panel of experts that was convened at a workshop the FTC had in November, and also according to the FTC staff's own research, these claims are not feasible scientifically.
Give me a for instance.
Oh, a for instance is that you can lose weight by rubbing a product or wearing a patch, anything that you can wear or rub on your body that could actually help you to lose weight. And believe me, there are a ton of products out there like that. Products like weight loss earrings, slimming insoles.
Weight loss earrings?
Weight loss earrings was actually a case that the FTC brought a few years back. Supposedly it was based on a theory of acupressure that would cause people to lose weight. No science behind it whatsoever. Slimming insoles, and then, of course, many diet patches. In fact, the FTC today, in conjunction with releasing the guidance to the media, also released three cases, one of which included a seaweed diet patch that purported to enable people to lose a lot of weight if they put it on.
This would seem to come under the category of, this is probably not an official legal term, but rip-off. And why isn't it just flat illegal?
Well, it is flatly illegal if there's no scientific basis for it. And the FTC has brought hundreds of cases over the last 10 years or so, but the problem is there are so many media outlets now and so many ways for these advertisements to find a way to a consumer, and it's sort of like whack-a-mole. You get one, you get a couple of these ads taken care of, and the FTC has been bringing pretty strong enforcement actions, getting millions of dollars in penalties, et cetera, and yet they really have not been able to make a dent in the number of deceptive ads that are out there. So today, the purpose of today really was try to engage the media in helping them to do that.
Get the media to essentially turn back money.
Correct.
We'll let you turn off your cell phone.
Thank you.
Okay. If you'd like to join the conversation while she's doing that, the phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. And Ann Marr, it was, where are most of these ads placed? Are they in newspapers, on websites, magazines, what?
They're everywhere. They're on television, they're on radio, they're in print, in daily newspapers, in magazines, all over the Internet. Wherever there's a way to get an ad out, a weight loss ad will be there.
And it's, as you said, it's illegal to make a false or deceptive claim in an advertisement. Is it illegal to run a false and deceptive advertisement?
Well, that is the question. The FTC's program today is today the chairman of the FTC announced that the trade associations were going to be the media trade associations were going to be making this brochure available to their members, and that they were going to inform them that their members at the FTC was very seriously concerned about these claims. Now, whether or not and the FTC plans to do a follow-up survey later in the year to see if the ads are
being reduced.
Yeah, being reduced, and we'll see what happens from there.
You would think that a big thing would be to knowingly run a false or deceptive ad, and after they get this brochure, presumably they would know.
Presumably they would.
Let's get a phone caller involved, and this is Kevin, and Kevin's on the line with us from Indianapolis.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Okay.
I guess my question or my statement would be more along the lines, why go after the media and everybody that's, you know, they're getting paid to do this? Why don't you go after the manufacturers that are making these, you know, horrible products? You know, instead of being a buyer beware, you know, if the government, if we're paying taxes and all these other things, don't you think they should just get these false things off the market, period?
Well, Ann Marr, you were telling us earlier that the FTC is doing its best, but maybe some more money for some more agents and more prosecutions.
You know, the FDA has also been involved in this. Some of the Postal Service has been involved, but they really are just, you know, thousands and thousands of ads out there every day. I really don't think one government or three government agencies could deal with this problem. It's momentous. And what the FTC is doing today is saying, let's see if we can get some help. Let's see if we can get these ads stopped another way. And I think the media has shown a lot more, a lot more of a tendency towards cooperation and feeling sympathetic to the FTC's desires here than they have in the past. The fact that they've agreed to disseminate the brochure, the fact that they are conveying the concerns of the FTC to their members is definitely a step forward from the past.
Kevin, have you ever been taken in by ads for weight loss earrings or anything like that?
Well, I'm so suspicious by nature that, you know, I haven't fell for the, you know, you lose 3,000 pounds in a week for, you know, $29.95. I run every day. I, you know, work out, and I believe, you know, through proper diet, that's the way to do it. But, you know, in our society, everything's fast, fast, fast. So I could see where, you know, people would get fooled into believing, you know, these false claims. I mean, I can sympathize, you know, I understand it.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to lose weight. It's very hard, and people, not everyone, you know, is motivated to run every day and reduce their caloric intake, and that's basically what you have to do. So these kind of quick fixes are people grasp onto them. You know, even though it sounds too good to be true, people want it to be true.
Yeah.
Well, just on a kind of side note, though, isn't that also kind of the media's fault that these products are so prevalent? I mean, if you open up any teen magazine, the average girl in there is a size 1 and 100 pounds. I mean, so are they kind of actually perpetuating this problem themselves?
Well,
that's a whole other issue. that certainly is a problem.
Getting onto philosophy there, Kevin, I think. So,
sorry about that.
Well, keep working out and caveat emptor when you see those weight loss earring ads. That one really got me. Kevin, thanks very much.
Thanks. Have a good day.
You too. You're listening.
Bye.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation, which is coming to you from NPR News. And Ann Marr is our guest, a former assistant director for advertising practices at the Federal Trade Commission. Here's an email from Suzanne in Atlanta, Georgia. I believe, she writes, this does need to be regulated in some way because the average American does not have the scientific background and knowledge to understand which claims might have validity and which are completely ridiculous, the weight loss earrings aside, I suppose.
Well, I think that's very true. I mean, one of the claims that we see over and over again in that is cited in the seven claims are the claims that say that they're products that can block the fat. And, you know, the commission has brought a number of cases over the years against companies that are, you know, hawking products that block the fat, absorb the fat, with claims like lose while you snooze. You don't have to do anything but take these pills and the fat will just be pulled right out of your body. And many times the claims are, you know, accompanied with claims about science that supports this. And I think that's hard for a consumer to know that when an advertiser is talking about a clinical study just about a bodily reaction like that, mm-hmm. that they would have the ability to know that it was untrue.
Yeah, I mean, there is, as you mentioned, if it sounds too good to be true, if they're talking about, and the pounds just melt away, it probably is too good to be true.
It is, but when you start talking about university studies and clinical studies and, you know, start to show patients who've before and after shots, people then, you know, will suspend their disbelief.
Now, there are a lot of, we're talking about weight loss, but there's an awful lot of, deceptive kinds of advertising, anti-aging products, for instance, not unrelated, I suppose. Are we likely to see similar FTC guidelines on those kinds of products, do you think?
I don't think the commission has, at this time, a specific guidance plan for specific supplements. However, they have put out a number of other consumer education brochures that tell consumers what to be on the lookout for. You know, claims like the anti-aging claims, I think, is an example that's given in these brochures. Claims about miracle cures.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of things that consumers should watch out for. More generic packages than focusing on one supplement.
Yeah. When you had this, when this was your job, what was the most frustrating aspect of it? All these different companies popping up, shell companies, that sort of thing?
Yeah, the most difficult aspect of it is just the amount of advertising that's out there. And you have a staff, and this is just one part of the one kind of advertising that the FTC has to regulate. And there's so much out there that there's no way that one agency can keep up with it. And that's precisely why they're looking to partner mm-hmm. with the weight loss industry and with the media.
Now, again, you'd be asking the media not to accept money from people who want to run advertising.
Not necessarily that. You could also ask the media to take a claim out of an ad. I mean, ask the advertiser to take a claim out of the ad or soften the claims to some extent. And, that really is, there really is a lot of give and take between ad clearance and advertisers. I mean, there are a lot of magazines, for instance, that don't want to take ads that might offend their target population. Or many ads don't take tobacco or gun advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
This is in a way, an extension of that. We're not going to take any ads that make any of these really over-the-top, egregious diet claims that cannot possibly be true based on the science.
Let's go to Corey, and Corey's on the line with us from Norman, Oklahoma.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering if the FCC could do anything about this, because here in Oklahoma City, Clear Channel Communications owns a bunch of radio stations, and they had a bunch of the disc jockeys come on and say, well, I've tried this, take a spoonful of this stuff, you'll lose weight overnight, just don't eat anything after 8 o'clock. And the first thing I said, well, if you don't eat anything after 8 o'clock, of course you're going to lose weight. But can the FCC say, don't tout these kind of products, please?
Yeah, is that one of the government agencies that's involved in this?
I'm not really sure whether the FCC is, but the FTC does have guidelines about, expert and consumer endorsements of products. And those guidelines specify that, a person who's like a DJ who's hawking a product has to really be a user of that product and has to have reviewed it.
Mm. Corey, you may have particular experience there with one radio company in Norman, Oklahoma. I suspect they're not the only ones involved in this sort of thing, though.
No, definitely not. And as a matter of fact, they had to pull all of their ads, and it was a little to do here locally because that product was clamped down on.
Uh-huh. Right.
And so all these disc jockeys had to say, well, I guess it really didn't work. But, that's an authority figure, really, on the radio. It's somebody you hear, you trust every day, and they're saying, I use this product, it works. And it just seems like the FCC could do something about that.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
Okay. Anmar, we have just a couple of seconds left. Any final advice for people?
Well, I think what you said before, which is, if it sounds too good to be true, it can't be true. And the fact is, in order to lose weight, you have to take in less calories, and if you want to lose weight faster, you have to exercise too. And those are the hard facts, and these products have promised effortless, fast weight loss without any diet or exercise. Just are too good to be true.
Ann Marr, former assistant director for advertising practices at the FTC, now in private practice. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Talk of the Nation in Washington. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.